Do you approach parenting with a mission mindset? Here's Anne Dunnigan casting a vision for your children.
This world needs men and women of character, men and women of integrity, of deep, fervent devotion for God, not only as missionaries, and not only as pastors of churches, but as men and women of God who are leaders in this world, in all these different spheres of influence in society.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Monday, August 5th.
Well, as you know, at Revive Our Hearts, we talk a lot about this issue of legacy. Not only living out a love for Christ and faith in Him and a vibrant, vital walk with Him, but having a heart to pass the baton of faith on to the next generation and to see seeds of purity and passion for Christ and ministry-mindedness passed on to that next generation. And I am so grateful to be the product of a family that was mission-minded, to have had parents who were intentional about teaching the seven children in my family the Word of God, the ways of God, and cultivating in us a heart to live for the Lord, not for ourselves, but to be mission-minded. And we're going to talk over these next couple of days about some of the ways that took place in my family. But I'm excited to have with me in the studio today a new friend. Her name is Anne Dunnigan, and she is a woman after my own heart. She's written a book called The Mission-Minded Family. And Anne, welcome to Revive Our Hearts. Thank you so much for joining us for this conversation.
Oh, thank you, Nancy. I am very honored to be here.
And what you've written about in this book, and more than that, what you have lived in your life and your family is something that resonates deeply with me. It's something that I have a passion for and something that we want our listeners to have a passion for as well. So I want our listeners to get to know you. You are a wife and a mom. Tell us a little bit about your family, because that's at the heart of what God has led you to do in ministry.
I am very happily married to my husband, John. We have seven children, currently ages 8 to 22. We're homeschoolers, so I've been teaching our kids at home. We're finishing up our 18th year of homeschooling, homeschooled all the way through high school. So we have three graduates.
And I still think mothers are the ones who should get the awards for this. You know, you go to these homeschool graduations and it's the kids getting the awards, but I think those moms, they deserve like serious medals.
Well, I do think at a homeschool graduation, the parents do feel it very deeply. Yeah. I actually faced a huge wall with homeschooling when my oldest one graduated from college. And I still had a first grader at home. So it's like realizing, oh my, we've run the marathon, but we still have a long ways to go, kind of getting right up to the starting line again. But God's grace is new every morning. And my husband and I, we have a passion for the nations. We have a passion for God's great commission and extending God's kingdom to wherever he calls us to go. Something that is deep in my heart is encouraging families to expand God's kingdom and fulfill His great commission in whatever sphere of influence you are called to reach. So, you know, we're not all going to be boarding planes and heading off to Zimbabwe or heading off to Tanzania or to India. However, we all need to have this mindset that wherever God has us, that we're His ambassadors. So we have been just raising and training our children. We have traveled on many different outreaches, different trips. We've been in full-time. Every single Christian is in full-time ministry. Whether they realize it or not. And we have been involved in Christian missionary work for the last about 23 years. Have been able to go to many different places. I've been to like 29 nations around the world. My husband's been to about 60, actually all seven continents. We've got quite the stories about that, of just how even God called my husband to go to Antarctica to preach the gospel. And all along the way, we've just been raising and training our kids. And in seeing the needs overseas, seeing the lost, going to places where the gospel has never been, of rescuing orphans and pulling little kids off the streets, it has absolutely transformed the way even our philosophy of parenting, you know, the way that we train our kids, the way that we raise our kids. And in writing The Mission-Minded Family, part of it is I want to convey just the light from the Word of God of the need for the gospel, and also to convey the darkness that we have seen in different places around the earth.
And you want your children to have that heart for the nations as well. I think sometimes when you think about missions, you think, how could you do that with seven children? You know, that's something you do when you're single or when you're in college or when you're empty nest or the youth group does a mission trip. But you're saying missions really can be and should be a family mindset, not just an individual mindset.
Absolutely. And that God has called our families even corporately together with a unique combo of gifts. You know, a husband and wife together have a unique combination of ministry skills and giftings that can impact society. It is so powerful when a family just loves God and is healthy and has fun, but that is also being effective for the kingdom of God. And I'm talking about it can be effective for the kingdom of God out on the soccer field, effective for the kingdom of God. You know, you're in an airport and people are just seeing how you are interacting together as a family, how you are at church, how you are in the neighborhood. So just that God wants us as a family
to be a light,
to
shining.
Be a light.
Yeah. You know, this is really a countercultural way of thinking, even for many Christians, sadly. And we talk a lot on Revive Our Hearts about this countercultural revolution of women who swim upstream against the culture. They say, we want to be God's women in this dark world. And it's countercultural when it comes to family today, don't you think, to be mission kingdom-minded? I mean, really, the prevailing mindset seems to be a lot more self-centered, building children to have self-esteem, to make worldly goals. I mean, do you see this around you?
Absolutely. And even just as Christian women, sometimes there's this inward striving of, you know, I want to do something big for God. I don't want to just stay home. I don't want to just, you know, just be sweeping the same floor over and over again. But God has a passion for our homes, just as he has a passion for us to take the gospel to the nations. And something that God has really put in my heart is that there is a divine balance for each day inside of Christian families. And I remember there was this one time that my husband was taking some different mission trips, going and doing evangelism in some remote places. And at this time, we had four little ones at home. And I wanted to go so badly. I want to go. Can't I go? And my husband just really felt, you know, right now, you are needed here at home. And there was this one day I got very frustrated and I just told my husband, what do you want me to do? You just want me to just sit around here on the couch and just like read storybooks? And he looked at me and he said, yes. And you know, those kids are now grown up. Those kids, they finished up high school. They went off to college. A couple of them are done with college. And they love God. And they love me and my husband. And, you know, we're a close-knit family. Mm. And it is because we were willing to invest time in our children and be with them and play with them and read to them.
But as you were doing that, you weren't doing it just so that they could be happy and have successful lives. You really have done it with a view toward those children being kingdom-minded.
Yeah, I would read good storybooks, even just reading books to our kids that would instill in them a fervent heart for God.
What kind of books?
Oh, some of my favorites are the Christian Heroes Then and Now, missionary biographies, just being able to read about men and women of God like Amy Carmichael or about David Livingston or Lauren Cunningham.
I have to tell you, I teethed on those kinds of books, on Christian biographies, missionary biographies. We didn't have a television in our home when I was growing up, for which I will be eternally grateful. Of course, we didn't have computers, laptops, and iPhones, and cell phones, and video games, and all those technologies either. But we did have good books. And I loved to read. I still do. I have one of the greatest collections of Christian biographies. But as a little girl, my heart was so inspired and inflamed with love for Christ and a passion to serve him because my parents made available to us good books of men and women who had been faithful servants of the Lord. And those were my heroes growing up. Mm-hmm. It wasn't sports figures or entertainment figures or actors or actresses or celebrities of the world sort. It was the Amy Carmichaels and the Hudson Taylors and the George Muellers and the Gladys Aylwards. Those were my heroes. And that's where God really lit in my heart a passion to serve Christ and to be kingdom-minded. So I'm a big fan of this, reading good books to your kids, getting good books in their hands. And let me just say that we've posted on reviveourhearts.com a list of some of those books that you and I recommend that listeners may want to check out. And there's so many good series available today that weren't as available when I was a little girl. But what a great thing to cultivate in your children a heart and a hunger for knowing and serving the Lord through that kind of reading.
And even just to instill in our children that it's not just what they do. The bullseye is knowing Him. Mm-hmm. That we would just train our kids to pray, to train our kids to love the Bible itself. I mean, that's the best book ever to read to our children or to read aloud to our kids is to read the Bible and get them to learn how to read the Bible.
Did you find that your children were all receptive and responsive to this kind of influence, or some that you didn't seem to have quite as much interest? How did you cultivate that interest in them?
Well, even just realizing that God has unique calls and purposes for each one of our children, that when the Bible talks about train up a child in the way he should go, and when he was old, he will not depart from it, that in the Amplified, it says, train up a child in the particular bent. You know, there's a particular talents, different character traits that God has uniquely equipped each one of our children. And so, you know, we need to get out of our head this idea that a missionary is just this Indiana Jones sort of character that, you know, puts on a leather jacket and a hat and trudges off to the remotest jungles in Africa, and you hear the beating of the tribal drum and people are dancing around the fire. That missions is getting God's heart. It is just knowing Him and allowing for His presence to flow through us in whatever sphere of influence God is going to call each one of our children. And so to train them up to love God and to know Him, to begin to develop the gifts and talents that God has given each one, and that they would hear His voice and His direction, whether that is to go into a city, whether it's to go into media, whether it is to go into the education system, to go into business, to go into politics, to go into the military. But that this world needs men and women of character, men and women of integrity, of deep, fervent devotion for God, not only as missionaries, not only as pastors of churches, but as men and women of God who are leaders in this world, in all these different spheres of influence in society.
Where did you get this heart?
A heart for Jesus? Oh, I've loved Jesus ever since I was very little. My mother led me to the Lord when I was 3. I grew up in a beautiful Christian home. My dad was a high school teacher, coached golf. My mom was a stay-at-home mom who just, she was always there. And my mother loves the Bible. She just has such a love for the Word of God. And so,
is that something you caught early on?
Yes. And there was one time when I was at a camp when I was 8 years old, and a teacher, actually it was a family camp, but the children were having a little class, and there was a teacher that encouraged the class to take your little worn out Bible and go out into the woods and believe for God to give you like a reference or something. And so I went out into the woods. I just prayed and I said, you know, God, could you speak to a little girl like me? And the thought came to my mind, Jeremiah. Read Jeremiah chapter 1. And my initial thought, which now I really believe was also direction from the Lord, was, oh my, Jeremiah, that's like full of confusing words and hard names. And when the book starts out, it is filled with names and kind of confusing words, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, the priest, da-da-da. But then in verse 4, Jeremiah chapter 1 says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. And the Lord said, don't say I'm a youth. You will go to all who I will send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. So that was something that grew in me from the time I was a young girl, and God has just been very faithful.
And then God gave you a husband who had a similar heart.
He did. In fact, we were both, we were pretty young. We had both just graduated from high school, and my husband was coming in to be a guest speaker in our youth group. And at the time, I looked like I had my whole act together, and I did love the Lord, but there was a period of time during my last year of high school where there was some compromise in my life, and there was some areas of rebellion, and I looked like Miss Leader of the youth group. I mean, I was up there leading worship. I was, you know, one of the leaders there. But this guy came in, and he was like a soccer star and loved Jesus. So he was coming and sharing about daring to be different and encouraging the young people in that room to allow no compromise in your life, you know, of the type of music you listen to, the type of music and the type of movies that you watch and just the decisions that you make, the friends that you have, no compromise. And I just remember looking at him and I was very convicted, and at the end of the service, I went up and talked to him, and I had my kind of like reasoning in my head that I'd kind of allowed these little inroads of junk, sin, into my life. And so I asked him, you know, I work as a waitress in a restaurant, and there's times that I don't get off work till 2 o'clock in the morning. And sometimes I need to have a radio going on to be able to keep awake. I don't get any Christian stations. And so, you know, sometimes I listen to like a soft rock station. It's not too bad, but you know, is that really that big of a deal? Is that okay? And it was so awesome. He just looked at me and looked me in the eye and he said, can I ask you an honest question? I said, sure. He said, how's your prayer life? And I just shook my head and just said, you know, it could be better. And it dug deep. And he goes, well, you know what? I just challenge you. Next time you go to work, you know, just turn that radio off and pray. And just, you know, pray for the people who you're going to work with. Pray for the people that are going to come in that restaurant and see what will happen. So the next day, I turned off my radio, and I don't know if that's a very good thing to say on here. Those of you who are listening to good stations, you keep your radio on because this is a good program. But you know, I turned off my radio, and I prayed for the people who I was going to be working with. And that day, the restaurant was really slow, and there was a woman in her 30s that came up to me out of the blue. And she's like, you know, my sister has been lately talking about that you got to be born again to go to heaven. What do you think about that?
Wow.
I was just blown off my feet. I'd worked there for a year and a half, and I'd never had a chance to share my faith before. And here, without me even initiating a conversation, someone came up to me and said, will you please witness to me? So that was a very influential turning point in my life, because I was, when I drove home that day, I was just praising God in the car and just thinking, God, you are so real and you are so big, and I do not want any compromise in my life. I just want to fulfill your purpose. I want to serve you with all, everything, 100%. And, you know, I repent of this and I repent of that, and just asking God to come in and direct my life. And then we got to see each other again. I told him the story, and he thought it was kind of cool that someone had actually listened to what he had preached about. And 2 years later, we were married, and we have now been married for 23, almost 24 years.
And how neat it is to see the way that God put two kindred spirits together. But I think some people could listen to your energy and enthusiasm and wholeheartedness and think, that's Ann Dunnigan, and God didn't make me quite that way, or that's a little extreme, or certainly everybody doesn't need to be that way. But I'm thinking back to that verse in Jeremiah chapter 1. Where God says to Jeremiah, what I believe is true of all of us, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. That we have been set apart from before the foundation of the world, to be consecrated to God for His purposes, for His kingdom purposes, that what you're talking about, we have different personalities, we may express it differently, but that God has called each of us to have a heart that is wholly Christ, no compromise, passionate devotion and love for Christ, and living our lives not for our sakes, not for our kingdoms, but for His kingdom. And not only to have that kind of life, but to influence the next generation, the children God has given you, to believe that this is God's calling and commission and purpose for their lives, to fulfill whatever it is that He made them to do and to be. So this isn't something, a way of life or thinking that's just for some small minority of very, you know, pious missionary types, but you're really talking about a calling and a lifestyle for every child of God.
You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:20 that we are ambassadors for Christ. And part of this verse that says, as though God were pleading through us, you know, God has a passionate love for this world, you know, as though God were pleading through us. I implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, that there is a passionate love for a very lost and hurting world. And, you know, we don't all have the same personalities. We're not all outgoing. Some people are shy. I once heard somebody say, well, how can I share my faith? I'm a shy person. And I heard someone say, well, you can witness to shy people. You know, I mean, there's no excuse. We have the light of Jesus Christ, and this world desperately needs God, and God wants to plead through us to see His kingdom expand here on this earth. That's what it means to be mission-minded.
That's Ann Dunnigan talking with Nancy Lee DeMoss about raising mission-minded children. Obviously, this is an important topic for parents, but I'm sure a lot of grandparents have gotten a lot out of this conversation, as well as single women who are actively working on influencing the next generation. When the kids in your sphere of influence are grown, how will you look back on the time you had with them? It's an important question, and I hope you'll think it through with Ann Dunnigan. We'd like to send you her book to help you in the process. It's called The Mission-Minded Family. When you donate any amount to Revive Our Hearts, we'll send the book. Our prayer is that it will help you impart a passion for God's kingdom day to day at home, and it will show you how to give your children valuable experiences in the world, building God's kingdom. Make your donation online at reviveourhearts.com or ask for The Mission-Minded Family when you call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. So if you have questions about raising mission-minded families, today you can interact with Ann Dunnigan online and ask her for yourself. She'll be part of the Revive Our Hearts listener blog today through Wednesday. Just visit reviveourhearts.com, find today's transcript, scroll to the bottom, and ask your question there. Later this week, we'll hear from a group of young people whose parents did try to instill a sense of mission in their lives. So recently, these young people found themselves on a paddleboard in the middle of the night in a storm.
So I had climbed on the board. I stood up, fell in, climbed back on the board, fell back in. The boat, or the paddleboard flipped over. And I remember just looking up. The waves are just, you couldn't see them at night, you could only hear them. So you just hear the next white cap starting to build to your right, and you knew it was about to hit you.
They were 3 to 5 feet consistently the whole time, and sometimes much higher than that. So there was a lot of falling off the board, a lot of getting soaked, losing track of the boat, so we had to stay focused and keep paddling as hard as we could.
We'll hear that story starting Thursday, and tomorrow we'll hear more from Ann Dunnigan. When her family was visiting Africa, she was struck by the number of children without adequate clothing. The words of Jesus came to mind, "What you've done for the least of these, you've done for me."
And I had got to this point where I felt like I could not go back to Africa again unless we did something for orphans, something big for orphans. There was this burning desire that just kept burning deeper. And I finally just got to the point where it's like, I felt like I was about to explode.
That's tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. Hope you can join us. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.